From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. And it's a Thursday. Every other Thursday, we have a wonderful little feature that we call What to Watch, where our resident movie critic and Morning Edition host, George Prentiss, tells us everything that's out there that's new, that's fun to watch, to go to the theater, to put on your small screen, whatever it is, you're on it. Hi, George.
Hi, Sam. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, I love this. You know, I have found so many great movies listening to What to Watch. Many of which I would never have heard of just because, you know, you're busy. You don't have time to do every movie, to check out every movie like you do.
I'm a fan. I don't profess to be much more than a fan, but I'm a fan first.
You're a fan first, and you get a lot of good info. So I have a sneaking suspicion you're going to start with a movie that is in theaters.
I am. And so in our last visit, I previewed this movie, Civil War. Little did I know, and I must admit, I was expecting it to be, if anything, a critical success and a possible modest hit. Well, Civil War is number one at the box office. It is a huge success in art houses, in mainstream cinemas, and even in IMAX. And Civil War is not only number one at the box office, but it is the highest grossing film in the history of A24 Studios, which is, you know, in the history of Hollywood, a rather new studio. That said, they've had a lot of Oscar winners of late. And so this was a surprise. And there has been an adage among Hollywood executives that they've insisted that uncomfortable, thought-provoking films can no longer attract a big audience. And this one pushes back against that idea in a big way. Civil War, and for those of our listeners who have seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. For those who haven't, I will tell you that it will shake you to the core. I am still unnerved, and I'm 2 weeks out of seeing this film. It is America at war with itself, and because you do not know the origins of how the Civil War began, but clearly there are political divisions, you're second-guessing. Right. And you're trying to assume that it's very much like the 2024 political landscape. But then this other element will come into the story. And the point of the story is that it doesn't matter how civil wars start. Once you're in it, once you have gone off that cliff, it is hell. And good luck getting back from hell. Civil War has a lot of action in it. There is a lot of bloodshed in it. To be sure, it is a hard R-rated movie. But the scenes that shake me and that I cannot get out of my head are the subtle ones. There is a scene in the film. So again, just as background, we have America at war. The White House is under siege. And we have a team of journalists who are trying to make their way to D.C., which is now basically the front line of a civil war. And as they make their way through the United States, they will go through some cities that look like Beirut. And then they'll drive through some cities that look like, just white picket fences and American flags and nothing's happening. And you're thinking, what is this? And there's a scene where they stop by in one of these towns that seems to be immune from the war that is raging in every other community. And as they're walking through this shop, a shopkeeper behind the counter is just kind of nonchalant. And she's basically saying, we just try not to pay attention. And this scene just chills me. So let's take a listen.
Hey, out of interest, but are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
Oh, sure, but we just try to stay out.
Stay out?
With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Yeah.
Well, let me try anything on.
Thanks.
you know, and who among us, I mean, doesn't that sound familiar? I mean, who among us don't have relatives that say, oh, I try not to pay attention. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to mm-hmm. get involved, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that everyone has to be involved, but you will regret not being involved in things that matter if you don't. And maybe that's the takeaway from this. So it is these subtle scenes in this film that I cannot shake. So Civil War, I do not recommend it for everyone because it is unsettling. Mm. But if you gird yourself and are okay with thought-provoking drama that begs 100 questions, this movie is for you. And I can't imagine a more provocative, if not controversial, film this year. It will be a bit of a cult, probably, once it starts streaming and people start seeing it en masse in their living rooms. But it's getting people talking already. So, yeah, it's number one at the box office right now. And knock me over with a feather.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And you also have news mm-hmm. of a... How do I want to put this? A very famous, mm-hmm. very well-known singer.
Yep.
And is this a biopic?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And it is will be the story of Amy Winehouse.
Ah.
And by the way, here's my retro recommendation of the week, and that is the documentary Amy from 2015, which came out, I think, about a year after her death. It's a phenomenal musical biopic, not a biopic. I mean, that's an actual documentary. And I highly recommend it. And Amy Winehouse, I think about her music quite often. Her music is in my eternal playlist. And the talent that we lost when she left us is just phenomenal. So what I want to do is, before I start talking about this new 2024 film, mm-hmm. you know, this biopic of Amy Winehouse, which is dramatized, let's revisit, let's listen to the real thing. Here's Amy Winehouse. No one is even remotely like her, right? That voice. Doesn't that take you back?
It does. It is just amazing.
Yeah. A wonderful documentary. Again, Amy. Not exploitive, and it just blows your socks off to remind you of what the talent that we lost. Anyway, so here comes the new movie, Back to Black, which, of course, was the title of one of Amy's great songs that mm-hmm. we just heard there. Mm-hmm. It is a biographical drama based on the life of Amy Winehouse. And it is Amy is played by Marissa Abella, a British actress, a young British actress who has done mostly British television. So she will be new to American audiences. But I thought it would be interesting to give you a taste of what she sounds like. Because, Sam, think about the musical biopics over the years mm-hmm. of where sometimes the actor or actress lip syncs right, mm-hmm. to the real thing
mm-hmm.
because they could never sound like the real thing. And then sometimes they give it a try. For instance, Austin Butler did a fairly good job with Elvis.
Yep.
But it is a gamble. So let's leave it to you and the listeners. This is the young Marissa Abella as Amy Winehouse in the new movie Back to Black. Here's just a little taste of what she sounds like.
Wow.
I think she sounds pretty darn good. Wow. And that's a tough assignment.
Yeah, it
right?
is.
So Back to Black will open on May 17th, but I want to put this on people's radar now. It will be an art house film. It will be a modest release. So Back to Black, we can count on it being at the Flicks here mm-hmm. in Boise. But May 17th, I'm actually looking forward to this because I was a little skeptical about this one.
That is incredible. What a voice.
And it's like, wow, you're going to try to sound like Amy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. By the way, speaking of musical biopics, I don't know if you heard the news this morning that Martin Scorsese's next big project, he's going to do a biopic of Frank Sinatra. And
really?
He is going to cast Leonardo DiCaprio as Sinatra. And I'm thinking, hold it. Is he going to sing? Because good luck with that, because it's The Voice, right?
It is.
So that'll be interesting to see how that progresses. They're still waiting for the sign-off from the Frank Sinatra's daughter, Tina, who signs off on all matters involving the estate. Uh-huh. But I'm really interested in this project. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And okay, so all I know about this next one is one word, Conan.
Yes.
And this could go a couple of different ways, so no. I'm eager to find out which way it's going to go.
It's not the Conqueror. It's the young man with the blazing red hair who conquered late night television. By the way, Conan O'Brien is 61 years old today.
Wow.
How is that possible?
I mean, I don't know. He's this
eternal, you know, imp to me. We remind ourselves that he was a writer for The Simpsons and a head writer for SNL, and Lorne Michaels pulled him out of nowhere to replace David Letterman in the Late Late show on NBC. And then, of course, there was that debacle on The Tonight Show where he came on. He was doing just fine, but then Jay Leno said, no, I want the show back. And it was awful. I mean, NBC basically treated him pretty poorly.
Yeah.
So, two things. Conan O'Brien, first of all, has a new limited series that's about to drop on HBO Max this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yep. And it looks like a lot of fun. And it's called Conan O'Brien Must Go, which is provocative. But basically, it's him going to very remote places in the world where people have said, oh, you should look me up someday. So without telling them, he shows up on their doorstep. So that sounds interesting. But here's what's interesting. Conan O'Brien returned to The Tonight Show last week. For the first time since he left under not-so-kind circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So Jimmy Fallon, of course, is the host now. And Conan O'Brien was talking a little bit about what it's like to come back and see your old studio. And, of course, things have changed. And in only his fashion, well, let's listen.
And the first thing that will hit you, and it will hit you too, because one day you'll have this show as long as you want it, but when you're 98, you'll move on, and someone else will be in this studio.
Yeah.
When someone else is in your studio, it feels weird. So I walked in, and I said, who's in my old studio? And they said, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
And I love Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. Who doesn't love Kelly Clarkson? But still, I felt like, it's not right! It should be a museum!
Blasphemy!
It should be a museum!
They should have burned it to the ground!
And then Kelly came out to say hi, and I said, don't talk to me!
You make me sick!
You took it. Wow.
I did. I feel terrible, Kelly. I really do.
I thought that was hilarious. And by the way, he was very gracious to Jimmy Fallon. It was a class act all around. But Conan O'Brien Must Go drops on HBO Max this weekend.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And if you were a fan of the early Simpsons, it is probably a good bet that any of those episodes that you absolutely love were Conan O'Brien.
It's so interesting. He has one of the best podcasts, by the way, of all time. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, where he just waxes poetic about the early days of the Simpsons and all of the guests who were the special guests. When you look at the people, I mean, everyone from Stephen Hawking to Johnny Carson were guests on The Simpsons.
Uh-huh.
But that was really, I mean, just classic episodes. And that's his fingerprints on those scripts.
Absolutely. 100%. Oh, my gosh. Okay. We've been speaking with our resident movie critic, George Prentice. He spends his spare time hosting Morning Edition. And we're talking about what to watch this weekend. George, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Sam. I love coming here as my home away from home.
We love having you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.